Good evening and good Erev Shabbos, Parshas Vayechi. It is hard to believe, but we now reach the end of Sefer Bereishis, which is a point of closure, not merely a closure to the first of the Chamisha Chumshei Torah, which basically brings us to the end of the first 2,000 years of history, and not only closure to this very, very important point in Jewish history, but closure to a machlokes, which really embroiled the family of Yaakov for many, many years, which sort of came to a head in Parshas Vayigash, and we do achieve a greater degree of sort of closure, sort of a peaceful ending, as we see the restoration, the repair of the damage that had been caused by the near killing and then the sale of Yosef by his brothers. Now, already in Parshas Vayigash, once Yosef reveals himself to his brothers, we see naturally the shock and then the uneasiness that understandably sets in as they realize that their brother now is in a position to really, really take action against them. But Yosef immediately puts them at ease, and he tries to assure them and reassure them that you have nothing to worry about, that I really believe that my coming to Mitzrayim was part of God's plan, and you and I were good. And then at the end of this week's parsha, the end of Parshas Vayechi, after the death of Yaakov, so the Torah tells us that Yosef, together with his brothers and others, go to bury Yaakov in Eretz Canaan. And when they return, the Torah tells us, "Vayiru achei Yosef ki meis avihem." Suddenly they realize that their father is now dead. "Vayomru," and achei Yosef, Yosef's brothers say, "Lu yistemenu Yosef," if Yosef still holds a grudge against us, "Vahashev yashiv lanu es kol hara'a asher gamalnu oso." So now he has the perfect opportunity. Yaakov, our father, is no longer around to stop him, to try to pacify him, and if he wants to take action against us, he can do so. And so they start to get nervous. They start to worry, maybe once again we should be afraid for our lives. It's not particularly clear, at least from the text, what exactly happened which prompted this sudden concern. It does say they saw that their father died, but Yaakov already died earlier. So there must have been something at this particular point in time which made them particularly nervous. So I'd like to cite two examples. So I am all but certain that there were more. There must have been many things that were going on at the time which gave them reason for concern. But I'm going to cite two examples. Both are found in the Medrash. One is cited by Rashi. I'll first begin with the one that's found in the Medrash Tanchuma, actually not cited by Rashi on this pasuk. Says the Medrash, "Umarou atosha pachadu." What did they see suddenly that they became afraid? They saw that when they were returning from the burial of Yaakov, "Rou shehalach Yosef levarich al oso habor." What are the chances? Talk about bad luck. They're making their way back from Eretz Canaan to Eretz Mitzrayim, and lo and behold, they find themselves back at the Bor, that infamous place where Yosef was almost killed, left for dead by his brothers, that place, and Yosef breaks away from the group, and he's standing, we have to imagine this, sort of looking over into the pit, and they see that he's mumbling something to himself. They see that he's saying something, presumably praying, and they could only wonder, they could only imagine with great fear, what is he saying? What is he thinking? He must be plotting to kill us. After all, being back at this place, it must just bring a surge of raw emotion. And suddenly they were afraid. Lu yistemenu Yosef, they were afraid that, now he's going to come after us. Rashi quotes a different focus of their concern, although again, not to the exclusion of the other, and this comes from the Medrash Rabbah, says Rashi, "Mahu vayara," what did they all of a sudden see that they became afraid? "Hikira b'misaso etzel Yosef," they saw that as long as Yaakov is alive, "Hayurigilim lisod al shulchan shel Yosef," they would be invited to eat together with Yosef, presumably in the palace, very, very chashuv guests of the king, "V'hayum karvan b'shvil kavod aviv," and he would draw them close. And he would do so, at least partially, as a sign of honor to their father. However, now that Yaakov died, he no longer invited them to eat with them. And so therefore they were concerned. Now Yosef is turning against us. He is showing us a cold shoulder. Yosef is giving us signs. He's signaling to us that he's no longer okay with us. And they became afraid. What is going to be? Now the reason I want to bring this to your attention is because Chazal also provide us with the key to understanding what was really going on over here. What does that mean? The brothers were afraid. Clearly, the text says that they were afraid that they thought that now Yosef was going to turn against them. But they were mistaken. They were misunderstanding. They were misreading the facts. they were coming to certain interpretations, certain conclusions, which are more than understandable under the circumstances. However, there were fears that were growing in their head merely because of a lack of communication more than anything else. Because, and again, understandably, they didn't necessarily feel that they can approach their brother, that they could speak to him directly. And so therefore, they had no choice but to sort of retreat to their own fears, to their own assumptions. What's the other side to the story? So let's work backwards. As far as what they saw at the pit, that they saw that Yosef was praying by the pit. So the Medrash Tanchuma goes on to say he wasn't praying by the pit. That's not what he was doing. You know what he was doing there? He was reciting a bracha. What bracha was he reciting? Says the Medrash, Chayiv Adam Levarech Al Hamakom Shenas Lo Neis. When a person is in a place where he or she survived a great miracle, they're responsible. They're chayiv. They're obligated to recite a bracha. Baruch Hamakom Sha'asi Li Neis Bamakom Hazeh. Thank you, God, for performing a miracle on my behalf. He was not there plotting against his brothers. He was not there praying for revenge. He was not there trying to come up with a way to get back at them. He was simply there as a way to express his Hakar Yisrael Tov to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Suggest the Ksav Sofer, why is it that Yosef stopped inviting his brothers to the palace to eat with him after Yaakov died? So he says very simply, as long as Yaakov is alive, so Yosef knew that even if his brothers would be exposed to certain influences in and around the Egyptian palace, he was not concerned that they would become assimilated. He was not concerned that they would become overly affected by the culture in which they found themselves. Why? Because Yaakov would set them straight. Yaakov, of course, who was not just their father and their grandfather, but a very, very strong, stabilizing spiritual force in their life, he would remind them, and he would make sure that they would stay on the right track. But now, says the Ksav Sofer, that Yaakov is no longer here, Yosef said, I don't want to take that risk. I don't want to take the risk of inviting them. So each and every time I have a meal, I'm going to invite them, and they're going to be spending time in the palace, and they're going to be interacting with all of the Egyptians here. And, you know, slowly but surely, it happens. They may become more assimilated into the Egyptian culture. So Yosef said, it's best that for now, they just stay away from me. In both of these instances, Yosef was not in any way whatsoever positioning himself to hurt his brothers. He was not trying to send them a message. If anything, he was really looking out, as we see certainly in this latter case, on their behalf. He really, really wanted what was best for them. But if he failed in one respect, at least until this point, it was in effectively communicating that to them. And as a result, well, the Torah goes on to tell us they were forced to lie to him. When they see and they misinterpret these signs, these cues, so they say to him, you know, Avicha tziva lifnei moseh le'emor, that before Yaakov died, he instructed us to tell you to forgive us. They contrived this entire narrative, which wasn't true. And Yosef understood and suspected clearly that it wasn't true. But a relationship that was already very strained and very stressed, which had finally been on the road to complete, if it's possible to say that, repair and recovery, was now once again being strained because there was less communication than there could have been and perhaps than there should have been. So what is Yosef's response to this? How does Yosef try to address this situation when he realizes that his brothers are more concerned than they really need to be? So what he does is he speaks to them. But I want to tell you the words that the Torah uses to describe how he speaks to them. The Torah says in three words, Vayidaber al libam. Now, when we're done tonight, you can go ahead and you can do a computer search and see how many times you find a similar expression in Chumash and Tanakh. And I believe that the record will show that you will be hard-pressed to find too many instances in which such an expression is used, Vayidaber al libam. What does that mean? Vayidaber al libam. So Rashi says, quoting the Medrash, Dvarim hamiskablim al halev, that Yosef spoke to them in a way that they would truly, truly receive, understand, accept, believe what it was that he was telling them. And Rashi sort of paraphrases, takes us out of the text, because the text is actually over here rather elaborate, how Yosef says to them, please do not be afraid. I am not standing here in the place of God. You may have had your intentions, and perhaps your intentions were not pure, but I can assure you that it was God's plan that I should be here, and you have nothing to worry about, that I'm going to protect you and take care of you and sustain you and your children. He says all this to them, But Rashi, quoting the Medrash, adds more. He says to them, why would I kill you? What would that make me look like? He said, before you guys came back to Mitzrayim, before you entered the picture, I had a reputation of being a slave. Everybody thought that I was a slave. I was a prisoner. And once you came to Mitzrayim and your identities became known and my identity, my source of origin now became known. So the whole story came to light. And now everybody knows I'm not an Eved. I'm a Ben Chorin. Everybody knows that you, my brothers, you restored my reputation. So now what am I going to do? I'm going to go ahead and kill you. I'm going to look foolish. And not only will I look foolish, people are going to turn on me. Who would do such a thing? Who would kill their brothers, especially after their brothers restore their reputation? What's going on over here? Rashi is trying to explain that Yosef recognizes that his brothers were really, really afraid. They were confused. They were coming to conclusions that they shouldn't. They were making all sorts of, they were having all these conspiracy theories in their mind as to what was going on. And rather than just say to him, stop it, rather than just say to them, I'm fine, let's just move on, I'm not upset at you, vayidaber alibam, which means he met them where they were. He recognized that they were feeling very, very afraid. He recognized that they were not thinking as clearly as they should. He recognized their vulnerability. He recognized how weak they were at that particular moment because they were still feeling probably a combination of many things, including guilt for the decisions that they made. So rather than just say to them, it's fine, get over it, move on. Vayidaber alibam. He spoke to them on their level. He spoke to them ba'arichus. He didn't just say a couple of lines here and there and said, let's move on. He really, really tried to convince them. And he spoke to them in a way that they would buy it. Rashi doesn't mean to suggest for a moment that the reason why Yosef didn't kill his brothers is because what would the Mitzrim say? That wasn't the reason, but that's what he told them. Because he knew that if he would just tell them, you got nothing to worry about, they would still go to sleep at night with one eye open. They would still be afraid. They would still not trust him. So he said to them, listen, it's not in my best interest to take revenge against you. It will make me look like a fool. It will compromise my position, my standing in Mitzrayim. And that they were able to accept. And that's what it means, vayidaber alibam. At the end of the day, I share this all with you because I'm trying to point out something that we all know, a very, very important aspect of human nature. And that is how much we are wired to so easily misunderstand each other. You know, human communication is incredibly complex, and we have the ability, we have the potential to communicate volumes without even using words. By using just our expressions and body language alone, we can really, really tell entire stories. But we should never think for a moment that anyone, and even people who are very close with us, even our own flesh and blood, necessarily know at all moments what we are thinking, what we are feeling. Sometimes great tragedies occur from miscommunications. In this situation, what we're reading at the end of Parshas Vayechi, the end of Sefer Bereishis, it's not tragic, but it does sort of spoil, it does sort of mar what was looking like. It was sort of a cheerful, happy moment of repair and restoration to this relationship that really, really, unfortunately, was so damaged by all that had occurred over the course of many years. So the Torah is highlighting, I believe, how important it is that we should remember to communicate as clearly as possible. Had Yosef just been more transparent about what he was doing at the bar, had he taken that moment to say to his brothers, you know, there's a halacha that when you come to the place where your life was spared, you should recite a bracha. Baruch she'asani neis b'makom hazeh. If he decided not to invite his brothers back to the palace, maybe he should have told them why. So he could have dispelled these thoughts, these concerns, these fears long before they would rise to the point that they did. But ultimately, Yosef does recognize when he sees how afraid they are and he sees how concerned they are, vayidaber alibam. He speaks to them very, very clearly and slowly and patiently in a way that they will understand. Once again, we see Sefer Bereishis and really the entire Torah provides us with eternal messages, timeless messages that we can apply to so many situations in life. I'm assuming whoever you are listening right now, you were never thrown in a pit by your brothers. I certainly hope not. But each and every one of us can relate to situations like this, where we find ourselves involved in complicated situations in which we assume we know what another person is thinking or feeling. We should remember from the end of Parshas Vayechi, don't assume. You may think you know what's going on, but you may not. And on the other end, if we suspect, if we feel, or if we see that someone who we are communicating with is reaching conclusions about what we're thinking, we're feeling, and they're off, we should put them at ease. We should clarify. And even if there's no reason for them to think that, we should still speak to them al libam, where they are. What a powerful message. What a practical message, I believe, from the end of Sefer Bereishis. May we all be zoche to learn from the timeless stories of the Chumash, to apply them to every aspect of our life, so we continue to grow and become better and better people every day. Thank you so much. Have a wonderful Shabbos.